The Motion Picture Academy has had its say, and no surprise here, not everyone agrees with the results. I'm Dan Webster, host of Movies 101. And on this week's show, Mary Pat Truthart, Nathan Weinbinder, and I will give our reactions to Sunday's Oscars broadcast. We'll also discuss one of the nominees for Best Documentary Feature, Hale County This Morning This Evening, which we saw via iTunes. And we'll preview a free film festival that occurs this weekend at the Magic Lantern Theater. So don't touch that dial, because another edition of Movies 101 is coming up next, right here on Spokane Public Radio.
When you hear us say, listener-supported public radio, what are we really saying? Public radio is shorthand for thought-provoking, well-crafted, stimulating programs. Listener-supported means it's your money that pays for those programs. And not only the programs, but the transmitters, the computers, the electricity, everything it takes to bring you those programs. So here's a very large thank you to you, the listener, in listener-supported public radio.
Hi, I'm Dan Webster, film critic for Spokane Public Radio and blogger for Spokane7.com.
And I'm Mary Pat Truthart, part-time film critic, full-time law professor at Gonzaga University School of Law.
And I'm Nathan Weinbinder, also a film critic for Spokane Public Radio and film and music editor for The Inlander.
And welcome to Movies 101, the show that admires the sheen of gold that glows from each Oscar statuette. We don't always admire, however, the decisions that the Motion Picture Academy and its 8,000-plus voters make. That's one of the things we'll discuss during this week's show. Plus, we'll review one of the nominees for Best Documentary Feature, Hale County This Morning This Evening, which we access through our respective iTunes accounts. And we'll end by previewing the Best of the Fest Social Justice Film Festival, which is screening at the Magic Lantern Theater this weekend. First, let's begin with a look at the Oscars. And, you know, right away I'm going to say that I got into a bit of a brouhaha during the show on Facebook when I started off after about a half hour of the show saying, this is the worst Oscars broadcast I've ever seen, and I've been watching them since the 1950s. I got a lot of blowback about that, and I tell you the truth, as the show went on, it improved because of a couple of things. The Lady Gaga-Bradley Cooper performance of Shallow, the fact that Olivia Colman won, what a surprise there. But then at the end, I still thought it was a pretty bad show, because this is, yes, an award show, as more than one person has pointed out to me. It's an award show. What do you expect? People are going to get up there, and they're going to accept the awards, and they're going to just kind of ramble on. Yeah, okay, but it's an award show, as you both have pointed out to me when we were talking just a few minutes ago, about entertainment people, and it should be an entertaining program. That's why the best years when I was a kid were with Bob Hope, because Bob Hope was always ready with a quip to keep things moving, and my favorite years were the Billy Crystal years, because he made the show into something you wanted to watch. I just thought, overall, with a few surprises and a few dumbfounding surprises, the show was below average.
Well, I mean, we didn't have a host this year. Right. And I have to be honest with you, I didn't really feel the void of the hostless Oscars the way that you did.
If you have a good host, like...
That's true. I mean, we've had pretty lousy hosts in the recent past, like Seth MacFarlane, Neil Patrick Harris.
Whoopi Goldberg, she wasn't very good.
Yeah, I mean, I would take Whoopi Goldberg over those two guys, honestly. But
James Franco?
James Franco and Anne Hathaway. And poor Anne Hathaway trying her best, and James Franco giving her nothing to work with. Yeah. Acting is reacting, James. But I thought that they did a good job by giving you entertainment throughout with the presenters. For instance, it began with Tina Fey, Amy Poehler, and Maya Rudolph, who a lot of people, including me, said, why don't you get them to host?
Yes, exactly.
They came out and did some jokes because they said, well, we don't have a host. And what was the line they had? Everyone that reads USA Today tomorrow morning will think that we did, because they'll run
stand
our
here
picture.
A little longer.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And then you had Melissa McCarthy and Brian Tyree Henry come out dressed in favorites.
But don't you think that there should have been more of those types of things?
Yeah,
if you weren't going to have a host, having someone come out draped in rabbits went a long way to make up for some of the quips that Dan felt were lacking.
To be fair, though, even in years where we have had hosts, even good hosts, the back half of the Oscars is more concerned with the awards because they're in the home sprint. They have to be, we have to get out of here at a certain time.
Right.
So usually the host disappears during the second half of the award show anyway. So I didn't really have a problem with it. And honestly, going forward, I don't really know if we even need a host. I think just get more entertaining people out there on the stage in between awards. Get funny people to present the awards and say funny things. Have them maybe write their own jokes. And then I think you'll be fine.
Well, and that's just it. You think of some of the orchestrated things they've done over the past few years where they brought tourists into the auditorium.
I loved it.
So, love, hate.
But that takes up 10 minutes of time while Jimmy Kimmel is shooting a hot dog cannon at some guy from
Peoria, Illinois.
Yeah, right.
Well, I made this point a few minutes ago before we went on the air. I made the point that one of the big brouhahas, one of the big controversies beforehand was that the Motion Picture Academy or ABC, whoever made these decisions, were going to take some of the awards and show them during commercials and then do kind of a recap of it. And I don't have any problem with that, actually, after watching the show. They just chose the wrong one. Cinematography and editing, those are the essence of filmmaking. Why not best documentary short, best animated short, makeup? That was horrible. Three people trying to read off the same script, and they just, it was just wretched.
I understand that. You also don't know which speeches are going to be the good ones beforehand.
That's
so picking
true.
The categories based on their worth doesn't make sense to me. I also like seeing the, I guess you'd call them the regular people, the people that aren't the big movie stars that work behind the scenes and toil, some of them for years in obscurity, and now they finally have their moment. I kind of like seeing that. And there was a lot of diversity in some of those categories, too, especially with animated short went to Bao, which was the Pixar short that ran before The Incredibles 2, and the documentary short. So I was okay with that.
I have to admit that one of the women, I guess it was the best documentary short, had one of the best lines of the night.
Absolutely.
She says, "I never thought I'd get an Oscar about a movie about menstruation."
Yeah, exactly.
So that was a good line.
You get lovely moments like that. Now, let's talk about some of the big categories, because acting went, for the most part, as according to plan. Mahershala Ali won for Green Book, Regina King won for If Beale Street Could Talk, and Rami Malek won for Bohemian Rhapsody. When we got to Best Actress, I think we all thought that Glenn Close was going to win.
I think
we've said
that.
We said that on the show many times. It seemed like this was her year after, this was her seventh nomination. She's never won. It seemed like this was the time and place that she was finally going to get her award.
And also the movie that she was in was a movie about women's empowerment, a woman coming to power, facing power.
Yeah.
And in this Me Too era, of course, that would seem to have
been a good narrative.
Fit right into the narrative.
Totally.
Exactly.
It just so happens, I think, that the wife just isn't that memorable of a film, at least I don't think it is, even though it has had staying power in theaters. It's been playing for a really long time.
Well, it was also interesting because it came out the same year as Colette, which, was similarly themed.
And with Keira Knightley, Olivia Colman took Best Actress for The Favorite, and I think it's richly deserved. I mean, I thought the Best Actress roster was the best of all the categories, at least in terms of acting. I mean, it was an upset, I think, because I think everybody just thought that Glenn Close was going to win. Not as many people know, at least in America, who Olivia Colman is.
Right, because she has been famous.
In Broadchurch
and
The Night Manager.
Yeah.
And Peep Show, which is a really good sitcom that I like from the U.K., it's an upset that I think was great.
I loved
seeing her win, and her speech was so
charming.
No one
was more surprised than she was.
Yeah, and that's the kind of moment that I want to see at the Oscars. I like the surprises, and I like when the speeches are almost befuddled and charming like hers was. Also really good to see Spike Lee finally win an Academy Award. He won for Best Adapted Screenplay for BlacKkKlansman, and seeing him rush up on stage and basically like koala bear hug
Samuel L. Jackson
in his all-purple ensemble was really wonderful. And also Ruth E. Carter, who has been one of Spike Lee's costume designers for years, won her first Oscar for designing
Black Panther,
the costumes in Black Panther,
yeah,
which was also surprising. They always go for the period piece movies, well, most of the time, in the costume category. And the costumes in Black Panther are part of what makes that movie so interesting.
Yes.
So another richly deserved surprise.
Well, and of course, we can't forget the fashion piece of this whole thing. And I would just like to weigh in and say one thing. I thought really the highlight of the night was the fact that we had a number of women wearing pantsuits and pants ensembles. And I think if I were going to go and hang out there for like 6 hours and then go to an after party. Yeah. And I thought the person who looked the best, honestly, was Elsie Fisher from Eighth Grade.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought that was a perfect outfit. You know, it was a Tom Brown suit, perfect outfit for a young girl or a girl to be wearing. But Awkwafina, Amy Poehler, all these people. And so I say, let's go pantsuits for everyone for the future. Or
pantsuits, men
wearing Billy Porter, men wearing dresses.
That was amazing.
You can mix it up.
Yeah, that was amazing.
Interestingly, you bring up eighth grade because we've talked about snubs, and I think that Bo Burnham's eighth grade was one of the biggest snubs. It didn't get any nominations.
Yeah, not even for writing.
I think that it's absolutely absurd because it was one of my, easily top 10 and was one of my top three films of the year.
We all really liked it. It was also great. None of these were surprise wins, but it was nice to see Alfonso Cuarón go up three times.
Yes.
For Roma, he won for Best Director, Best Cinematography, and Best Foreign Language Film. I think we have to get into the best picture here, the befuddling win for Green Book. I think that's eventually what kind of hurt Roma's chances, is that I think voters thought, well, we'll give it Best Foreign Language Film. We're not going to give it Best Picture. I mean, I know that that's not how it works,
right,
that they don't go out with clear agendas, but I think that's what happened. And it was also nice to see him thank his two actresses, Yalitza Aparicio and Marina de Tavira. Every time he went up, he thanked them, and that was really
lovely. But yet
lovely.
He varied his remarks
each
time.
All of his speeches were different.
Which is pretty amazing when you think about it.
And it was really nice to see Guillermo del Toro give Best Director to his friend Alfonso Cuarón. And this is, I think, in the last 6 years, the fifth Mexican director
that's
to win
right.
Best Director.
Well,
and it's
three guys. Mexican directors.
And they call themselves the Three Amigos, and Iñárritu is the other one.
Mm-hmm.
So it was nice to see that. But then we got to Best Picture, and I had a sneaking suspicion.
You did.
You
called
it.
That Green Book was going to take
this. You jinxed everything.
And I think this is why. I think a large faction of the Academy is older, and this was an old-fashioned kind of movie, the kind of movie that, it's been said many times, could have won Best Picture in, say, 1985,
mm-hmm.
and it's very similar to another Best Picture winner, Driving Miss Daisy,
right,
which Spike Lee was famously not nominated for Best Picture or Director the year that was 1989 for Do the Right Thing. And he said oh, every time I come here and it's a movie about somebody driving around a racist or a racist driving somebody else, I lose the Oscar. I think that's what did it, is that this is a movie that seemed to appeal to a broad generation of people that make up the voting body, and I think that's why.
It's immediately gone down. You know, I mean, there were so many stories that broke about this is among the top 10 worst Oscar Best Picture winners ever since back to Crash, which, you know, admission here, I liked Crash. So, you know.
You sure you don't want to strike that from the record,
Webster? No. I did like Crash. Said it at the time, I'll say it now. But there have been so many others, like Around the World in 80 Days. Green Book is certainly in that category.
And I think that 20 years from now, I don't think we'll be talking about Green Book. I think we'll still be talking about Roma. We'll still be talking about The Favorite, Black Panther, Black Klansman, maybe even A Star is Born.
Well, and I was surprised that Bohemian Rhapsody got so much traction.
Oh, I know.
I mean, I liked Rami Malek's performance, mm-hmm. but the show overall did not really impress me to the extent, obviously, it did others.
And that concludes our discussion of the 2019 Oscars broadcast, though we could go on and on and on. This is Movies 101. It's time to take a short break. Before we go, remember that you can access podcasts of Movies 101 by going online at SpokanePublicRadio.org. While there, check out the individual reviews that Nathan and I write. Don't do it now, though, because we'll be right back to look at the Oscar-nominated documentary feature Hail County this evening, and to preview the Best of the Fest Social Justice Film Festival. You're listening to Movies 101 on Spokane Public Radio. And we're back. This is Movies 101, and I'm your host, Dan Webster. During the first half of the show, Mary Pat Truthart, Nathan Weinbinder, and I disclosed our reaction to Sunday's Oscars broadcast. Let's now move to two other separate cinematic exercises that delve into the disparate sectors of today's America. One, the Oscar-nominated documentary Hail County this evening, and the other, the Best of the Fest Social Justice Film Festival, which will run through Sunday at the Magic Lantern Theater. In 2009, Ramel Ross began documenting the community, Hale County, Alabama, that he worked in as a teacher and basketball coach. The result of his five-year project, culled from some 1,300 hours of footage, is a meditative exploration of a people, almost exclusively African-American, and the community in which they live. Unlike many such documentaries, Ross doesn't offer an easy narrative. Instead, even though his film does follow a few area residents whom we come to know, it works more as a study of a time and place in contemporary America that most of us will never personally experience. Winner of a special jury prize at Sundance and one of the five Oscar-nominated documentary features, Hale County This Morning, This Evening is at times a study of joy, at other times a study of grief, yet all the way through, it's filled with imagery that at times is nothing less than riveting.
I'm actually surprised that the Academy nominated this documentary because it's very unusual and it's very experimental and it's more about feeling and almost pastoral kind of beauty, some of it rugged beauty, at least in terms of the landscapes that we see, than a lot of movies that are nominated for documentary. And the Academy also likes to nominate films that either tell a story or inform us about a subject. Mm-hmm. And this doesn't do that. It's kind of a meditation.
It does both and neither at the same time.
Yeah, right.
It's an impression more than anything else.
Yeah, and impressionistic is the way that I would describe it. This is kind of a hard one to explain if you haven't seen it, but it is something of a collage because we do see these scenes from the lives of these people, and sometimes we get a couple of seconds, sometimes we get a couple of minutes, and in a lot of cases, it's completely removed from the context of the rest of their lives. So we're sort of seeing this almost verite-style glimpse into how these people live and behave and interact with one another. And we don't really come to know most of them. As you said, there are a few figures that come to the forefront, and we do sort of see them grow and change over time. And the way that Ross films this is sometimes he'll have some time-lapse footage. Sometimes he just fixes his camera and lets us observe people behaving for sometimes minutes at a time.
Like a little kid, Kyrie, running back and forth from the room.
He had a lot of energy, that
yes.
kid.
Or there's like a high school basketball team in the locker room, and we just kind of sit there and watch them.
Or the camera is in a car that goes by an endless field of cotton that is ready for picking.
It has more in common with something like Baraka or Kanayaskotsky. I'm probably butchering the title of that, but those kinds of films.
Kanayaskotsky.
Okay. But it also has Hale County This Morning, This Evening. It also has a kind of Frederick Wiseman
sensibility
to it, too.
That's how I felt, too. I mean, but it combined all of these different documentary styles. Mm-hmm. And so we don't really have any face-to-face interviews, which I thought was intriguing. And it basically does focus on the lives of two individuals. So
I didn't even think about Wiseman. I'm glad you brought that up, because if you think back about his documentary, it shows there's a progression there, but it just shows a lot of scenes that throw together into a kind of a narrative, but it's mostly impressions also. It seems to me that Barbara Koppel really started changing things with her two documentary,
Harlan County films.
Yeah. Exactly, in which she started centering on people and telling a basic narrative story. This is much more of a throwback. I hadn't even thought about that.
Well, the thing that I appreciated the most
Hale
about
County
this
morning,
film,
this evening,
is the fact that this was an individual project, but it's not a vanity project in any way. So when it comes up written, directed, filmed, edited by Ramel Ross, I think that in and of itself is amazing because he was immersed in this environment. And so to be able to be a part of it and step back in that fly on the wall sort of documentarian approach, I thought was really pretty notable because that's hard. I mean, so he knew some of the people, a lot of the people who he was filming. And as I started to say before, it really does focus on two young men, Daniel and Quincy, and their lives are simultaneously very similar and completely different because Daniel is on this basketball college track and Quincy has actually left school because he is
the father
of a growing family, including the inexhaustible
Tyree, but also his wife Boozy. The movie's split up in these chapter headings, and at one point it says something like
She careth not about this film.
Boozy careth not about this film.
You know, obviously, we talked earlier in the show about Green Book, and we talked about the way that it deals with race. This is a movie in which pretty much everyone on screen is black.
I think everyone.
Yeah, the filmmaker himself is black.
There's one shot of one white woman in the church. Okay. That's the only one I saw.
And yet this movie doesn't feel like it's some kind of hectoring social justice piece.
Not.
It doesn't feel like, oh, here's a movie for white people to see what
these
black communities are like. It's merely an observation. And there is a title card at the beginning where he says, this is kind of a study on how we are seen. And it is, if nothing else, I mean, it's a lot of things, but if nothing else, it is sort of a celebration of these people and how they interact with one another and their culture. And yet it doesn't feel like he's bashing us over the head or like an anthropological kind of thing. It's just this lovely little tone piece.
Right. And
it's
there's no huge specter of violence, although there are references to it. This is not a huge study of poverty, although these people don't have a lot of money. It is just a moment in time over 5 years. And we have to mention that he had a lot of help editing 1,300 hours of film down to less than 80 minutes.
Yeah. So we should say that Hale County This Morning, This Evening, you can get it on streaming services. I hope I have the opportunity to see it on the big screen.
Yeah, it played here once. And it's also played
one night.
Yeah, it's also played on PBS's Independent Lens. So maybe it'll show up again on TV. You could see it that way too.
And that was Hale County This Morning, This Evening. Let's close with a preview of the Best of the Fest Social Justice Film Festival, which is screening through Sunday at the Magic Lantern Theater. Mary Pat?
I would like to reveal that I've been involved in helping out in some ways with this festival, and I'm really excited because the Social Justice Film Festival has been screening on the West Side for several years, and it's now made its way across the Snowy Mountains to Spokane. And the good news is it is a three-day fest this weekend at the Magic Lantern, and it's free and open to the public.
And so if you're watching on Friday night, you can still catch
the Friday night film is The Providers about rural docks. And the other thing that I'd like to say about this festival is all of the films, and there are full-length films also preceded by some short films that are themed. All of these full-length films documentaries will have a commentary. So, for example, on Friday night, we have some rural docs from the UW School of Medicine. On Saturday, with Go Penguins, which is about a theater troupe of people with developmental disabilities, we have commentators. That's at 3:30 on Saturday. We have commentators from the disability rights community. Same thing on Saturday night at 7 p.m. Coming Home, a First Nations documentary. On Sunday, March 3rd, The Guardians. We have people who work in guardianship because this is about exploitation of people. And then there are two medium-length films on Sunday night at 6 p.m., Sincerely the Black Kids and Side by Side, about children in different sort of situations, adoption situation, in the school setting, and so forth. So I think it's really exciting. If you want to get more information, socialjusticefilmfestival.org, Magic Lantern this weekend. Hope to see you there.
You say that it was
free. Yes.
It is free.
Yes. I'll be.
And that was our preview of the Best of the Fest Social Justice Film Festival, which runs through Sunday at the Magic Lantern Theater. This is Movies 101. I'm Dan Webster. And early in the show, Nathan Weinbend and Mary Pat Truthart and I discussed both our reactions to Sunday's Oscars broadcast and to the Oscar-nominated documentary feature Hale County This Morning, This Evening. We always take a moment to thank Jim Tevenin for both producing and engineering the show, and we do the same for you, too, our loyal listeners, whom we invite back next week, same time, same spot on the radio dial, when we'll again do our best to explore the world of contemporary cinema. Until then, pay attention to these words from the late British filmmaker Richard Leacock. My obsession has been, and still is, the feeling of being there, not of finding out this and analyzing this or performing some virtuous social act or something, just what it's like to be there. You're listening to Movies 101 on Spokane Public Radio.
The Movies 101 podcast is made possible by the members of Spokane Public Radio. Become a member at SpokanePublicRadio.org. Thanks for listening to Movies 101.